stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're so glad that you are with us. Brother Sam, what's the Lord led you to get us into this afternoon?
Kyle, today we're going to look at the book of Mark. You know, previously we went and we looked at Matthew. We looked at, you know, what are the promises of who are those that enter the kingdom of heaven? Who are those that don't? What are the warnings? What are the exhortations? Again, so similar to what we're going to do is we're going to look at the book of Mark. I'm not going to cover the miracles, the feeding, the walking on water, any of that. Specifically getting to the point of, who are those that are blessed? Who are those that enter the kingdom of heaven? What does it look like? What do our lives look like? And I pray that this is going to touch people's heart. You know, so many people are so conditioned to John 3:16, believe, believe, believe. They don't know what believe means. And they're surprised to find that they don't know of any verse in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or what verse can they point to of who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Because typically Jesus says, oh, you want to enter into eternal life? Well, ye must keep my commandments. And that doesn't resonate with them because they have a false gospel. They don't know the truth. So we're going to go through, we're going to look at the book of Mark and see if the gospel, what Jesus speaks, lines up with what you believe.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. And we thank you, O Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for the challenges that you give us in life. We thank you for the teachings that you give us. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that it cuts through all of the lies. We thank you for the listeners, Lord. And we pray for them as they are listening right now that you open their ears to hear the true word of your testimony through the scriptures. We pray that you open their heart and that you allow it to work in their lives, to change their lives. We ask this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start at Mark chapter 1. Now, one of the keys is we talk about being born again or baptized, spiritual baptized with Christ that we talked about in the Romans chapter 6 episode. You know, John the Baptist came and he said that there were two baptisms. What does he say in chapter 1, verse 8?
It says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the key is being baptized with the Spirit. And again, to understand and know what that is, I tell people, go read and listen to the episode that we did in Romans chapter 6. It really probably does the most thorough discussion of that. And then you keep reading chapter 7 and 8, and it reinforces it of what it is and what it is not. Unfortunately, a lot of people know Romans chapter 7, I think it's verse 13 to 25, that they reference the part where it says what it is not, and because they don't know the whole Bible and how it leads into that, that they're actually contradicting and they're identifying with a man that has not been spiritually born again. But for people, if you're listening to this and you're being convicted, go listen to the episode of Romans chapter 6, then listen to Romans chapter 7, and if you are willing to just let the Word of God stand on its own, you will be transformed. That's what the Word of God does in His Spirit. Now, Jesus came into Galilee, and He started preaching the gospel of God. What did Jesus preach and proclaim? What does it say in chapter 1, verse 15?
In verse 15, it reads, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
Repent and believe. It doesn't say believe. It says repent and believe. And we know as we continue to read, and if you read the whole book of John, you find out what it means to believe. But so many people get focused on a single word, and then they interpret it to what they want it to say, instead of understanding that, no, it's repent and believe. And God defines what both of those mean and what it looks like with many examples as we read through His word. So He goes and He calls Simon and Andrew. They were fishing. He says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately, in verse 18, they left their nets and they followed Him. They left their nets and they followed Him. You see, you have to give up your life in this world to find it. As we continue, and looking at Mark. In Mark chapter 3, he tells us, who is the true brother, sister, and mother of Christ? What does he say in Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 32 to 35?
And a crowd was sitting about him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.
You see, Kyle, it comes down to, do you do the will of God? You have the earthly family and you have the spiritual family. Until you're born of the Spirit of God, we don't belong a part of the family of God. But when we're born again, we're part of a new heavenly family. But those who've been born of God, just as Christ, they no longer do their will, but they do the will of the Father.
Well, not only that, we're in a new kingdom. And so even the things of this world are foreign to us.
Correct. In Mark chapter 4, he's going to talk about this, the parable of the seed. So far, up to this point, talked about repent and believe, following to leave everything. And the question is, do you do the will of the Father? If you don't do the will of the Father, there's a problem. Now let's look at the parable of the seed. In Mark chapter 4, he's going to talk about the parable and explain it. He told the parable in verse 3 through verse 8. Now he's going to explain it in verse 14 to verse 20. So the sower sows the word. The first seed falls beside of the road. What happens to the seed that falls beside the road in verse 15?
When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown in them.
He immediately comes and he takes it away. Now, there are places it talks about in the heart. Other places it says they don't understand when you look at all the accounts in Matthew and also in Luke of this same parable. If you want to read the other ones, in Matthew, it's in chapter 13, towards the second half of the chapter. In Luke, it's in chapter 8, in the in the middle.
Yeah, verses 11 to 15.
So the first seed, there's no profit. They hear the word, but Satan comes and steals it.
Doesn't even get a chance to grow.
Now, in the second one, it falls on the rocky soil. What does this say about the seed that falls on the rocky soil? In verse 16 and 17.
And these in like manner are the ones sown upon rocky ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.
So it says immediately they fall away. Now in this one, it grows, but it didn't have firm root. We get that from here, also in Matthew. And the problem is it's temporary.
Yeah, persecution comes along, tribulation comes along, and
they fall away. But it says they received it with joy. You know, if I turn over to Luke chapter 8, it says in verse 13, it says, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root. They believe for a while. So you see, there's some people who receive the word of God with joy, and they even believe, but it's not enduring. You see, if your belief is not enduring, or you fall away, well, there's no blessing in that. That's right. They believe. You want to be the person that believes? You'll also find when you look at the other gospels, believe is really not the indicator of who inherits the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, we covered it in Matthew. You didn't really even see belief. You heard about, do you do the will of God? Do you now do good deeds? Do you no longer have wicked thoughts within you because you've been the new tree? But people don't even know these because they're so conditioned by the lying doctrine of those who twist and distort the word. They focus on John 3:16 and don't even know it's a conditional verse. If you haven't listened to the episode that we did on John 3:16, go listen to it and let God's word instruct you so you can know all the truth. The next seed. So far there's two seeds. Two seeds that don't endure. Two seeds that don't have the good heart. Now let's go to the third seed. The third seed in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, what does that say?
And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful.
So this one actually grew. The other one grew. This one actually comes to the point of fruit bearing. I think the Bible talks about how we're commanded to bear good fruit. And the first one never bore fruit, or the second one. The first one, it never grew. It got stolen. The second one, it believed, received with joy, but it was temporary. It grew up, but it didn't have any depth, firm root. It was temporary. It died. It never became fruit-bearing. It never bore spiritual fruit. I liken this one as that kind of walks, continuing, seeking towards God like the infant, but never came to receiving the Holy Spirit that we talked about in Galatians chapter 4 and the Galatians episode. And now we're to the third seed where it grew. It appears that it transitioned from being an infant to a son because now it's bearing spiritual fruit. You can't bear spiritual fruit, the fruit of God, be the good tree until you are born again, you receive the Spirit of God or the new heart. So this one had it, but it went backwards. The worries, the riches, the pleasures, it choked it and it stopped bearing fruit. It became unfruitful. Then we go to the last seed. And what does it say about the last seed in verse 20?
But those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
That's right. It bears fruit. It doesn't stop. It doesn't get choked out. It doesn't stop bearing fruit. In Luke, it talks about the seed and the good soil are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and a good heart and hold it fast. The key is holding it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance.
Yeah, a firm foundation. Got to have a firm foundation.
So far... Again, when we look at the gospel being proclaimed, have you repented? Do you do the will of God? Do you bear good fruit with perseverance? As we continue in Mark, we're going to go over, and we're now in Mark chapter 6. And we're getting close to the point where we're going to be talking about the new heart coming up in Mark chapter 7. So in Mark chapter 6, again, as they go out, Jesus sends out the disciples, and I want to point out something in Mark chapter 6. Even Jesus, there are certain things he could not do because of unbelief. What does Mark chapter 6, verse 4 and 4 through 6 say?
Okay, 4 through 6. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief."
Yeah, unbelief, doubting, it can cause even, it quenches the power of God to work in their lives because they deny God, they reject God, they refuse to accept the work that God wants to do for their lives. He then sends out, he commissions the 12, they go out, he gives them authority.
Can I go back to that one just a
yes.
Question? Because I think this is something I'd like you to expound on. You know, it's a key point there that he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. We can't stress that enough, that there wasn't a lot of miracles done there because of their unbelief. If you're not witnessing miracles in your life, folks, that should be a sign of something.
Yes, and that's going to come up at the end in chapter 16 about the proof of those who believe and are baptized. It doesn't just say believe, but baptize. There is a spiritual baptism. All the works of God that you do, it's not by the efforts of the wisdom or the power of man. It's by the Spirit of God dwelling in us, by the Holy Spirit. If you have not been born again, received the Spirit of God, the first thing the Spirit does, it gives you a new heart, the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit of God that we covered in Romans chapter 2, then people are, they don't understand. They don't understand what spiritual baptism is in Romans chapter 6 that we covered in that episode, or in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, about who enters the kingdom of heaven and the gospel that Peter preaches. And he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 about what baptism is, appeal to God for the good conscience or the good heart.
Amen.
People fundamentally are flawed in their understanding and thinking. That's why they have a gospel without power. So he sends them out, and they went out. And of course, they went and preached everywhere that what were men to do in verse 12, chapter 6.
Oh, so sorry about that. So they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them.
That's right. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it's to go to God in faith to get the new heart and the new spirit, which is the covenant of promise that we covered in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, and also we covered in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 to 32.
Amen.
If people do not understand, you don't know those, go through those episodes and open your Bible and walk through it and let God instruct you. And you'll find the true power of God and what he wanted to do, what he's always wanted to do. Now, over in chapter 7 in Mark. Now, many people go to God. They seek to serve him. They sing songs. They worship him. But the problem is God sees them a different way. Now, this is important to recognize. The people see themselves as a people that serves God, that desires him. But God sees them differently. How does God see the people? In Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through verse 8.
And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'"
And so, and they neglect the commandment of God. And we're going to learn more about the commandment of God. So the problem is there's many people today, Kyle, they preach. Now, they'll read from the Bible. The problem is they aren't teaching the ways of God. They're teaching the commandments of men, neglecting the commandments of God. The people honor God with their mouth, but God says their heart is far from them. The problem is the heart. We know that we need a new heart. It says they worship him in vain. Vain. Vain is to be empty. It's an empty worship. There is nothing in their worship that God accepts, even though they read his word, they seek to worship him, to live a righteous life. It's all in vain. You see, the first thing you have to do is you have to get a new heart. Now, God rejects these people. He rejects them. He then teaches them what defiles a man. See, some of these people thought that you were defiled by what you eat and that. He's like, oh, no, no. He's going to tell them what defiles a man. What does he say in verse 18 to verse 23, still in Mark chapter 7?
And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and so passes out." Thus he declared all foods clean. That's in parentheses. And he said, "What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man."
You see, what defiles a man is the evil thoughts. The thoughts come from the heart. Jesus taught about this. It's the thoughts. We read about it. Also in Luke chapter 6, like I think around verse 40. We've covered it in Matthew chapter 12, I think also in chapter 15, where he talks about the heart. Jesus talks about this. We cover this in the episode, God Requires a New Heart, Part 1, New Testament Verses. And until people realize that they must get a new heart, if you still have sinful thoughts that pop up when it's not convenient to you, thoughts of anger, envy, slander, jealousy, strife, whatever it is, well, that's a problem. That means you don't have the new heart. You still need to get it. Until you get a new heart, you're still a bad tree. As we turn over and continue, Jesus, again, proclaimed what must happen. The gospel message, he must die and raise again. It was for a purpose, so we could be baptized of the Holy Spirit, receive of a new heart, now walk in holiness and godliness, doing the will of God. He told the disciples, but again, they didn't understand. They had not yet been born again. They didn't have power. They didn't have understanding. They lacked faith. Listen to the episode we did on don't be like the disciples before they had the Holy Spirit. We want to be like them after they were baptized. See, it's only those who are born of the Spirit of God that are sons of God. It's only those who have the Spirit of God that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus tells them and teaches them in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. But you see, the disciples didn't understand that. Peter didn't understand that. What happens in the interaction in Mark chapter 8 between Peter and Christ in verse 32 down to verse 36.
And he said this plainly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And he called to him the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?"
For- Right. And when you look at that, when we look at our own life, have we denied self? Have we picked up our cross? Have we followed him? Do we know what that means? Until that happens, and also until our minds are no longer on the things of the world, we aren't following Christ, we're following Satan. You know, 1 John chapter 2, I think starting in verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, that's from the world. The world is passing away in all of its lusts. But the one who is doing the will of God lives forever. All things are possible to those who believe." As we continue and moving on, Jesus talks about who will be greatest. Now, Mark chapter 9, the disciples, as they were going along the way to Capernaum, they were questioning themselves about, who was the greatest. And so Jesus asked them about that. What is the encounter? How does it go in Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to verse 37?
"And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they were silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'"
Amen. You see, it's about being last. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. It's about losing our life in this world so we can find life to eternity. It's about having childlike faith, believing everything of the words that Christ spoke, the words of the Father, and not doubting any of it. Problem is, most people don't understand all the words of God. They pick and choose what words that Christ spoke so they can take the words and twist it and conform it to their life to claim that they're a Christian, instead of looking at all the words that we're doing today, looking at the different passages that talk about those who have life, those who don't, what it looks like. Now he goes on and he talks about not causing one of these little ones to stumble in verse 32. He says, "If you cause one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he'd be cast into the sea." But then he also talks about sin, talks about people being cast into hell. Who are those that are cast into hell in verse 43 to verse 47?
"And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell and to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched."
So, Kyle, everyone who continues to not be able to overcome sin in their life, and they're just constantly stumbling. They might stumble here, they stumble here. Now, we know in the Word of God that the stumbling actually occurs in the heart, in the thought.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you have the thought, Jesus taught, you have the anger of murder. Or the anger of man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. It's the same as murder. Anger is murder. Lust is adultery. In the heart, the thoughts. People don't understand that. We talked about that in Matthew when we covered that book. Here, he doesn't go into that, but we know that because he's already defined those things. And we already covered earlier about the heart. It's your thoughts. That's what defiles you. You have to be able to be free from those thoughts. Only God can give you the new heart. So as we continue to look, I'm not finding the typical gospel message that people want to claim, believe, 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 because it's telling us what is the result of who does believe or who doesn't believe. Do we do the will of God? Have we denied self? Have we truly repented? Do we have the new heart?
Are we obeying the commandments? Fulfilling them?
That's actually getting ready to come up here very shortly. In Mark chapter 10, he talks about a question, point blank question. This is a great question. In verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to Jesus, knelt before Jesus, and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Is that not the question that we all want to know?
It is.
But yet so few people actually teach the answer. This is recorded several times. And it wasn't just one man. It happened on more than one occasion. And Jesus consistently gives the similar response.
And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
That's right. So he went away sad. And a lot of people will try to say, "Oh, see, it's not about keeping the commandments. It was about he wasn't willing to give up his possessions." Well, no, keeping the commandments and giving up your possessions, or really your desire for things of the world versus the kingdom of heaven, that is required. That is what God requires.
That's right. It's all issues of the heart.
And, you know, just to point that out, in Luke, I want to flip over to Luke chapter 10, because a lawyer stood up to Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Mm-hmm. It says, "A lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Again, a similar question. And how does Jesus respond in the dialogue captured in verse 26 through 28?
"And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered right. Do this and you will live.'"
So he asked him, "How do I inherit eternal life?" Now Jesus, he pointed him specifically to the law. He says, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" Now this person knew, because the law, these things were given in the very beginning. To love God and love your neighbor as yourself has always been the requirement. This person actually knew it. He answered it. And Jesus said he answered how?
Correctly.
Correctly. Jesus went on to say, "Do this and you will live."
Well, his answer was even deep. You know, if you look at that, it wasn't just the rote answer of fulfilling those things of the law. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
Yep. And this, I want to say in Luke, it actually happens, you know, again, another time when he talks about later on in Luke chapter 18. Again, it's repeated as well. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And again, Jesus says, "You know the commandments," and he goes through and lists the commandments. But to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself is the fulfillment of the command. Now, if you love the things of the world, we just covered that in 1 John chapter 2, then the love of the Father is not in you. Mm-hmm. You can't say you love God if you still love the world. The people who have possessions and love their possessions and are unwilling to give them up, or that's like they just have this one hand on that and one hand on God, well, then you cannot have God. And we covered that earlier. And we know that to love your neighbor as yourself is not to sin against them. We've covered that in, again, the Romans chapter 13, which was in the Romans chapter 12 and 13 combined episode. And chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, it talks about to love your neighbor as yourself as you no longer sin against them. You don't break the law. And we've covered this in many episodes. So back to Mark chapter 10, keep the commandments. It's the same thing that's taught in 1 John chapter 2. Now, the disciples, as they went through that, and, you know, this person had a lot of riches. At the words in verse 22, the man went away. He was saddened because he owned much property. And so Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And verse 24, still in Mark chapter 10, the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them,
"Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.
That's right. All things are possible. You see, they didn't say, well, then, so rich people can't be saved. They said, who can be saved? They understood. Now, Peter says, behold, we have left everything to follow you. And they did. We covered earlier. They left their nets. They got up. They went. They left family. They left job. They left. They did everything according to the will of God. Now, this doesn't mean that it's a requirement that if you're going to follow God, you have to quit your job. It may be. The heart's attitude, you're willing to lose everything. That's what it comes down to. As the Spirit leads, so be it. You go. But there's nothing more important than God. So Peter says, truly I say to you, or Jesus says, after he says we've left everything, Jesus says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses, brother, sister, mother, father, children, farm, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, we covered earlier, I believe here in Mark, that, again, who are his mother's brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God.
Amen.
Those who do the will of God, you become part of the eternal kingdom. You're born again. You receive many more brothers and sisters. You see, the family of God isn't limited to a single household, but all who have been spiritually born again. You leave the eternal dwellings to gain the eternal dwellings. Leave the earthly to gain the eternal. So these are the things that Jesus spoke. Is that your heart's attitude? Or do you live for pleasure? Do you have the desire of your own portfolio and to just pursue and gain money and status and this? Where's God? Is he really number one above all else? Continuing through Mark, we talk again about the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12. Now, in verse 28 of chapter 12, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing. They were arguing with Jesus. And recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked him, referring to Jesus, what commandment is the foremost or greatest of all? So now they're asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? How does Jesus answer them in verse 29 to verse 34?
Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
Yeah, and keep going down to 34.
And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any question.
And that's true, because when you understand the truth and you're born again, you're now able to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't continue to sin against them. And that's consistent with the gospel message that Peter preached in the episode we did on 1 Peter and also 2 Peter. Everyone listening, if you don't know clearly and you cannot quote the passages in 1 Peter or 2 Peter of those that enter the kingdom of heaven, or how you receive the blessing, or what purpose have we been called for, or why did Jesus die for our sins, or how do we make certain about his election and choosing an entrance into the kingdom of heaven? If you don't know the answer and you can't quote those verses, but you can quote John 3:16, which is a conditional verse where you might not perish and might be saved, then how do you have confidence in God? When you don't even know the words of how you know, go listen to those episodes and find out the truth. And right now in Mark, have you found your gospel yet in Mark? We're going to continue. So as we go through, going to the end in Mark chapter 16, we're going to end it with this. After Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to the 11 disciples in verse 14, chapter 16. Actually, backing up, chapter 16, verse 11. When they heard that he was alive, that Jesus was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. They refused to believe it. You want to have that type of a belief? Remember, we covered this in don't be like the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a true belief. After that, he appeared to them in different form, two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. Verse 14, afterwards, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart.
Sam, you mean to tell me that the disciples were reproached by Jesus after his resurrection for their unbelief and a hardness of heart?
That's right. They didn't have a new heart yet. You see, until you're baptized with the Spirit, until you have spiritual baptism, you cannot be saved. Now, there's a hope of salvation. We know, just like in the case of Ephesians chapter 1 that we did the episode on, that before the foundation of the world, God already knows those who are his that are going to choose and accept him, that he already knows before they're born. So when Jesus says he chose the 11 and that they were protected, well, that doesn't take away from their free will. It's just their faith had not yet been perfected. Just like Abraham and the faith of Abraham that we covered, that no one knows. Go listen to the episode we did on James chapter 2. If you want to know the truth, if you want to be set free, if you actually want to take and go from a complacent Christianity that has no power, where you live a life struggling with sin every day in your life, and you want to be free, then please humble yourself, dig deep into your Bible, read the whole book, and stop taking bits and pieces, and let all the Word of God instruct you. When you have all the Word of God, you don't interpret and come to false conclusions. They had a hard heart. They hadn't been spiritually born again or circumcised yet.
They hadn't received that until Acts chapter 2 when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
But Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, we know from reading other accounts that didn't mean he was commanding them to go right then. They couldn't go right then. They hadn't received the Spirit. They didn't have power. They didn't have a new heart. But again, if you only read one fractional passage and you don't read the rest of Scripture, you'll come to a wrong conclusion. We know that the false message is stay and wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power and then go into all creation. That's why you have to read the whole thing, Kyle. People pick and choose and they pick a fragment. It's like, but you're contradicting the other parts of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. You have to have spiritual baptism. You haven't been spiritually baptized, you haven't been added to the body of Christ. Go listen to the episode we did, again, on Romans chapter 6 of what does it mean to be spiritually baptized and have eternal life. Go listen to the episode we did on Colossians. Is Christ in you? How do you know? He tells us. Or Ephesians chapter 2 through 5. The new creation, the perfect man, all the fullness of deity. Or again, the gospel that we covered in 2 Peter. They're all consistent. If this is sounding Greek to you, then you need to get into your Bible and pursue as if your life depends on it. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and then they will drink. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Is that your church? Well, then there's a problem. Father, I pray, O God, that people will simply turn and humble themselves to your word. We just looked at your word and the gospel spoken in Mark. Repent. We must be born again by the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Spirit. Those who do the will of the Father, those are of the family of God. Those who are able to keep the commands by the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you that the command has not changed, just as you said in 1 John chapter 2. I did not come to you with a new commandment, but an old commandment. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. O Father, do a work. Open the eyes and the ears of your people. Let them come to repentance and the true power of God, to put their faith and belief in a gospel of power, and not one that is only left to be of vain worship with no profit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.